Hey, everybody, before we get into the show, I wanted to let you know we've got another live show coming up. We will be back at Maya Cinemas on Thursday, May 23rd for Furiosa, the latest in the Mad Max series. We are so excited for this one. Joining me to talk about it, we've got Sam Novak, Shahab Zargari, and Tony Gonzalez, a great lineup. It's going to be an awesome movie. We are so excited to talk about it. So make sure to check the show notes. There are opportunities to win tickets. You can also buy tickets, and we hope to see you there Thursday, May 23rd, 6 p.m. at Maya Cinemas for Furiosa. Right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, we are doing another live episode. It's our live recording that just took place last week over at Art House Theaters in downtown Las Vegas. And joining me in the conversation are Gina Mazzoni, Michael Keane, and Tom Devlin to talk about The Exorcist Believer, the new reboot, sequel, requel thing of The Exorcist from David Gordon Green, who just recently rebooted Halloween and did a whole trilogy. Will we get a trilogy of these Exorcist movies? They say we are. We'll see if that happens. But we got a great conversation coming up. Lots of great puzzle pieces to get into. We had a lot of fun audience interaction on this one. It was a great time. Before we get to it, I do want to remind you to make sure you are subscribed to Piecing It Together wherever you listen to podcasts. And, of course, if you are enjoying the show, you can drop us a little 5-star rating and review, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Good Pods, wherever that happens to be. I do appreciate it. You can also follow us on social media at PiecingPod. Join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. And don't forget about the Produced by David Rosen Patreon, where I post bonus and advanced content from Piecing It Together, Awesome Movie Year, and from my music career. Lots of great stuff over there right now, and as I record more things, they'll go there first, so check it out, patreon.com/bydavidrosen. So with all that said, let's get into our conversation about The Exorcist Believer. All right, so I'm David Rosen. I'm the host of the Piecing It Together podcast. We're a podcast that takes a look at a new movie and tries to figure out what movies might have inspired it. We're, of course, about to talk about the movie we just watched, The Exorcist Believer. But before we get to it, first of all, I want to thank the Art House for having us out today. And I want to introduce my guests. First up, just to my right here, we've got my wife, Gina Mazzoni, who is a photographer. She has a photography business. She's also a board member of the Nevada Women's Film Festival. And she's been on the show a few times. This is her first time on a live show, though. Gina, welcome.
And I'm here to troll Dave's podcast tonight.
Probably going to have it. Between her and my mom, this probably won't go too well. Next up, we've got Tom Devlin, filmmaker, makeup effects artist, owner of Tom Devlin's Monster Museum. Also, you have a film, Teddy Told Me To, coming out soon, right?
Teddy Told Me To will release streaming-wise on Tuesday, October 10th.
That's awesome. Yeah. Fantastic. I'm looking forward to seeing it, and I'm so happy to have you here on the show. So thank you for being here. Michael Keane over there on the end. He is a filmmaker, a YouTuber. He has been on this show a bunch of times. He's, I think, the most of anyone on one of these live shows. Is that right? That feels right.
It just keeps on happening.
I know. Wait till we do Thanksgiving next month.
Yeah. Oh, that one, I'm actually, invite me.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. We might do that. But Michael Keane, awesome. Always happy to have him here on
that
the show.
Awesome.
It does look really good.
Yeah. It does look really fun. I haven't talked about doing it yet, but I did do a Twitter poll today, and everybody wants me to, so we'll see. Maybe we'll do it.
You did this.
Yeah. Why not? So I want to, before we get into the whole puzzle piece thing, which is the main thing of this show, I do want to ask you guys a question first, because this is something I was thinking about through this whole movie. I was kind of thinking about it before the movie, but definitely during the movie. Would this have been a better movie if it wasn't an Exorcist sequel? I feel like it really would have been. Gina, what do you think?
I think maybe, yeah. I think the cheesiness of, like, of Ellen Burstyn's character, like that was just like kind of silly.
Yeah, I think so. Her getting to do her own little exorcism at the end was,
I mean,
like,
I love her, but
absolutely, she's great. And I'm you know, we all saw that article, like, where she talked about how she, you know, she got a funding for these students to be in this movie, and like, that's awesome, you know, and she probably had fun, but I don't know. What do you think, Tom?
I think that it would have worked as like an asylum version of a, like the exorcisms.
Yeah, sure.
Exorcist, you know?
Yeah.
I have a friend who did. He just released. It's called Exorcists, and it has Doug Bradley.
Of course.
As one of I assume the actor. I haven't seen it yet.
Power of Pinhead Composer.
Yeah, but I watched the trailer and I was like, man. For a movie shot in, like, I think it was like 6 days. That, you know,
see, that's what I that's how I feel about this.
Right.
It could have been.
Yeah, but that movie looks great. Good enough. Yeah. For what, you know, it's one of those, like, it looks like it's shot well and lit well. Which I assume that this was not shot in 6 days.
Probably
does
not
have that distinction going on for it.
But I do think that they use that Instagram vignetting.
Oh my God, there's so much vignetting.
There's a lot of vignetting. Yeah,
I think that they took it like it was like a cheap one because you could see through it. Kind of.
It was completely unnecessary to have to do like an exorcist branded movie, because like my favorite exorcism movie is actually The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Oh yeah,
that's actually like one of my favorite scary movies too.
Yeah, I mean, it shows you can make an exorcism movie. You don't need to spend $400 million to do this, which is I believe what they spent to get the rights so they could do a trilogy of these.
Yeah, not the best investment.
I don't know.
I think the thing that really drove me crazy watching this, and it kind of ties into the whole, like, the feeling that it's like almost an asylum version, is that it's a really, like, I think it's a really strong idea at the core. Like, the way that they present religion is actually really smart, and it's kind of a diversion from what you'd expect. But then you have this kind of, you know, fine-looking, like, TV movie kind of looking thing, and The Exorcist is one of the best shot horror movies of all time.
Absolutely.
And it's gritty. Yeah.
And even, and we'll talk about other movies, but like, it's a series that's defined by, you know, even when the movies aren't that good, they mostly look pretty good.
Sure.
Like Exorcist 3 is a fucking masterpiece.
Mm.
And then you get this movie and it's like, yeah, it's an exorcism movie.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I completely agree with you. We should get into some puzzle pieces. And for people who are here in the audience who have not listened to Piecing It Together yet, I always like to throw a puzzle piece out there just to get this thing going and just to explain to you guys how it works. And so, like I said, it's a movie that we think might have inspired this. And I think the obvious thing here is this director, David Gordon Green, just did a trilogy of Halloween movies, which were in themselves a sequel that throws out all of the other sequels and just continues the story of the first one. Brings back the classic character. If I remember correctly, Laurie Strode had written a book in that.
She does at the end of the third.
Okay, so she's gonna write a book.
They skipped that whole process.
Yeah, sure.
We've seen that before.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. But yeah, also, you know, as we get into like the second one, Halloween Kills, it starts becoming about the community. So they kind of squeeze that in here as well. So I mean, it seems like he's dealing with a lot of the same ideas here. It's just he wanted to do it in yet another classic horror franchise.
Is he creating DGG tropes?
It feels like it in a way. It does. And I don't, he's not known for horror. He has a great like filmography, a lot of interesting stuff. But apparently he wants his like name in horror to be redoing all these classics.
Or did he just do very good financially with the first three, so they came to him and were like, you've got it.
Yeah, you have to do this now. Yeah. You have no choice.
Jason Blum was like, yeah, you spent very little money on those Halloween movies that made me a lot of money.
Yeah.
Will you do this movie and make a lot of money, but don't spend too much money, but make a lot of money for me, please.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how this weekend goes. Cool. So that's our first puzzle piece. Gina, what do you have for your first puzzle piece?
So I'm gonna focus on the ending of the movie where they have to choose which kid is going to live and which one's going to die. And that one, I'm pulling 1993's The Good Son.
The Good Son, yeah. Nice.
Where they have, you know, it's Macaulay Culkin and Elijah Wood. And that movie, that's like one of the best movies ever, too.
That is a fun movie. And Macaulay Culkin, you know, doing something. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, it's so, there's that whole, you know, that thing right now about like Marvel actors, like there's no stars happening anymore. It's like interesting to think, would these actresses get a chance to grow as actors, or is this kind of going to be like their thing?
I don't think they have much of a future, I hate to say.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really hard to say. What do you guys think about The Good Son over there?
I love The Good Son.
Yeah.
I love The Good Son. I mean, that movie, not quite a horror movie, but it scared the bejesus out of me because yeah. I was the kid that would have played with Macaulay Culkin. And then as he's doing those horrendous things, like, I had a hard time saying no. You know, I might have done them too.
You were the Elijah Wood.
I may have become like helping with Mr. Highway, you know, getting real excited about throwing something off a bridge.
Nice.
You know,
so. Yeah.
I love The Good Son. And as far as these actresses having a future, I feel like the little girls did really good.
Okay.
I think that they could grow up to be like badass actors.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope so. I would hope so.
And then people will be like, remember when they were in that crummy exorcism movie?
Yeah.
And it'll be like, which one? And
there you go. Yeah. No,
but I think they could end up, you know, especially. Yeah, I think they're great.
Right on. Well, Tom, let's go to your first piece. What do you got?
You know, I'm an effects artist first, and I love horror movies. But every bit of the original Exorcist had such incredible makeup effects by Dick Smith. And at the time, he wasn't known super for horror. He had done like The Godfather and Little Big Man and stuff like that. And then he did The Exorcist and blew everybody's minds with Reagan. The makeup effects or horror elements of this movie just look like the Evil Dead remake to me. The whole thing. Like, I could have cut this movie out, put it in the Evil Dead remake, and you wouldn't know that we skipped movies. You know, the way the cuts were, the tonality of their skin and the lighting and all the weird stuff happening on the ceiling, it really was like Evil Dead.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too, and like, I'm famous for bringing up Evil Dead way too much on this podcast, so I'm glad someone else did, but you know, I was thinking about it a lot. I mean, I know Reagan was always kind of like, you know, loud and like, you know, a little kind of crazy, but like,
but
they definitely
different.
Felt Deadite-like, right?
Right, yeah. Reagan was different. She was possessed,
yeah.
And you felt the duality inside of her.
Yeah.
This, I couldn't tell whether who was coming through, you
right.
know what I mean? And it was like a Deadite, but it was like, specifically the remake to me, it looked like they're like, make him look like this.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Michael, are you a fan of the Evil Dead remake? I don't even know. Like,
oh,
I know
I
we just did
remake.
That Evil Dead Rise episode.
I think on that episode, I talked about how much I love. I mean, I think there's no bad Evil Dead movie. I think it's all quality stuff and some better than others, but, you know.
Including Rises?
Yeah, I thought it was. I mean, it's probably my lowest spot of the bunch, but still fun, you know, worth a watch.
I think that's fair. Like, I didn't hate Evil Dead Rise, but I definitely thought it was a step down from all of the others, including the 2013 remake, whatever the other remake is. Like, this one was definitely, like, quality-wise, it was the least. And it did remind me a lot of, like, kind of the way that this looked effects-wise. So, yeah, I think you're right there. Michael, let's go to a piece from you.
So I'm going to go with a super obvious one, but for a very good reason. Exorcist II: The Heretic.
Okay.
So I had even though I love The Exorcist, I had put off watching Part Two forever because all I ever heard was, this is the worst goddamn Exorcist movie.
But that's the first, that and, should make you want to watch it.
Well, but I mean, it looked boring. It's basically what like, even though it was John Borman, I was like, oh, but it's gonna be like boring John Borman. And it is kind of boring. It is not that exciting of a movie. It is a movie that is 20 minutes too long easily.
It's dated.
It is very dated. But at the same time, it has a very smart idea, which if you haven't seen Exorcist II: The Heretic, it basically takes the
spoilers,
teachings and concepts of the Jesuit priest who inspired Father Marin in the first movie and makes them like the whole plot, where it's like, oh, there's this connection between the mind and spirituality, and it's actually a science, and it's really, really just a fun idea. And it, you know, it works all right. It's fine.
Mm.
And in this movie, they took, it feels like they are simultaneously trying not to do an Exorcist too, where they're trying to not go too far off the beaten path while still developing their own ideas. But the thing that Exorcist 2 has, and I brought this up earlier, is it looks really cool. It's a fucking rad look. It some of those like that. Fuck it, those.
Borman. I mean, come on.
Yeah, John Borman, fucking rules.
Yeah.
And the movie's batshit crazy.
Yeah.
And does it always work? No. But it fucking aims for its high. It has this huge goal it's aiming for. It doesn't quite get there, but it shows off a bit on the way. And this one, it feels like, yeah, Halloween did good. And it's frustrating because, you know, yeah, Blumhouse is cheap, but you're not too cheap to have good composition. You're not too cheap to have wide shots. You know, you can have a fucking wide shot. You don't have to, you know.
Do you think part of it is where cinematography's turned digital now as opposed to the celluloid?
There is part of that because that's why you have these muddy night scenes, which this does have. I'm glad that not a whole lot took place in the woods because I was immediately like, fuck this noise.
Digital noise, right? That's what you mean.
But what they'll do is they'll shoot pretty bright-ish for a night scene, but it's kind of evenly lit, and then they'll bring that lighting down because since it's evenly lit, you're not going to worry about a bunch of shadows and shit. You just bring it all down in post.
Then put the big net on.
Yeah. And what it used to be was, well, you're shooting on film. That's why there's so much just giant blue lights in old movies. Is because they need to light for the darkness. And how the fuck are you going to do that? You know, you create essentially one big-ass hair light. And you say, that's the moon, I guess. And we, the audience, are like, sure, fuck it, why not?
Yeah. Looks cool.
And now it's, well, I'll figure it out, I guess. And it looks muddy and shitty. And it's not visually interesting, which is kind of this movie's, to me, the movie's big problem. Like, you have really mostly solid performances. Leslie Odom Jr. is great. The two girls are great. The other fucking people are fine. And it has, again, this core idea that works, I think, really well and is a smart way to kind of start this theoretical trilogy that's not going to happen. But it all looks like dog dick.
Mm.
And it's so, so frustrating because you could take this movie, give it not even a new DP, but a DP who is allowed to take his time and actually make something of it, and hand it then to an editor who doesn't do the exact same fucking trick every goddamn beat of the film, and you have a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
And as it stands, it is a thoroughly whelming movie, which is kind of what I was expecting from Exorcist II: The Heretic, which is actually pretty good, and this is just, eh.
Yeah, to that puzzle piece. I've actually never seen Exorcist II: The Heretic. I really want to because I have a feeling I'll like the craziness of it. But I did almost bring up Repossessed as a puzzle piece. So that's basically an Exorcist too. So Linda Blair came back, so why not, right? So I'll go to another puzzle piece. I don't know. I don't want to keep complaining about this movie, but I feel like most of my stuff is going to be kind of on that kind of direction here. A movie that a lot of people love and I don't really like, and that is Dr. Sleep from Mike Flanagan.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, you piece of shit.
I know. Piece of I'm shit. The asshole who doesn't
Maybe
like Dr. Sleep.
Maybe you should
Sleep.
Just hang up your podcast.
I know. If I don't like
You're
anything.
You're going to suck cocks in hell for that one.
I shouldn't have listened to him when you said it was a bad movie.
I know. Monday we'll watch it and you'll see. That's... But I feel like it's just a
You know what? I avoided
thing,
that movie for a year because I was like, I don't need to see a sequel to The Shining.
Right.
I didn't need it. And then I was going to bed one night and it was on and I put it on. I was like, I'll fall asleep in 5 seconds. And I watched that whole movie like, wow, this is pretty fucking good.
Well,
this is really fun.
And the thing is,
I would say maybe more fun than The Shining. The Shining's
really?
Not a fun movie. The
right.
Shining is yeah. a dark movie, but it's not a fun movie.
The reason it's more fun is because it's basically an X-Men movie. Like, it's just a superhero
yeah,
movie.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's
so
ridiculous.
There's not a man in the movie losing his mind and...
It's different.
It's
yeah.
a different.
It, You're
the thing
gonna
it's,
enjoy it. Don't okay. listen to him.
It's like Exorcist II again.
No,
it is one of those films.
He's not wrong.
It's one of those films that it has the legacy elements. Like mm-hmm. in that case, Linda Blair came back.
Except
Ellen
it
Bernstein
looks great.
Come back.
Dr. Sleep looks good.
It does look good. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is,
I'll give it that. It did look
like
yeah.
It's this amazing like diversion. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, we can't do a fucking Shining sequel that's well, just The Shining again.
That's the
suck.
Reason I bring it up, because it's an impossible task.
I had imagined
no
they were going to fill it with CGI and crap, mm-hmm. like kind of like this, but they didn't. It was if they did, it was so tasteful that I didn't complain about it. Like, I love Doctor
Who. Oh, it's great. Yeah. David's wrong. It's okay. Yeah. It's
all
right.
I was pleasantly surprised, though, that Dave actually liked the original Exorcist movie.
Oh,
oh, I love
it. It's one of my, like, all-time favorite movies.
It's great. I mean, yeah. There's, like, nothing bad I can say
about it. And we just watched
it
a few days ago, and Dave had never seen it.
Yeah, somehow I had never actually, like, sat through the whole Exorcist.
You missed in 2000 when it was re-released?
Yeah, that's when I...
My God.
Well, I think I saw it in 2000 when it was re-released, but, like, it was...
I made him watch the 2000 director.
Yeah, with the spider walk.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. It's good stuff. Like all of it. Like,
it was amazing. So good.
Well, let's not talk about Dr. Sleep anymore. Let's go to Gina's next puzzle piece.
But wait, you didn't really explain why that was your...
Well, no, it's the thankless job of trying to bring back a classic movie that's like impossible to make a sequel. Now, of course, with Dr. Sleep, there is a text. There's a book that is based off a Stephen King book. But... you know, it's still a messy idea to even try to
do. It's hard to please anybody with.
You can't. Yeah. You absolutely can't. And so I think the fact that that movie even has fans, obviously 2-1 here, Gina hasn't seen it yet, but
3-1.
Well, Gina will probably love it, and then I'll be just out the door. But, you know, I think that shows that, like, even if it seems like an impossible task, maybe we could do it. And so they tried, you know? So, Gina, what do you got next?
So, this one is kind of an obvious one. If you saw the film earlier this year, it was another Blumhouse film. It's called There's Something Wrong with the Children.
Oh, yeah.
It's about this child-free couple that goes on like a little trip, a weekend trip to a cabin with their two friends that have kids. And then the kids disappear into the forest and they come back.
3 days later.
Few days later.
Was it three?
I think it was like a couple days.
I just made that.
And they're like possessed with something. And
absolutely. That I was definitely thinking about that one as well. We watched that earlier this year, and I mean, for a movie,
I didn't love it.
Yeah, it was. I was a little mixed on it as well, just like with this one. But I do think that the setup is like absolutely ripe for creepy shit, creepy kids that you just don't know what the hell is wrong with them. Like, you could see why they would go in this direction. It certainly was a good setup. I actually liked the first like 30 minutes of the movie ish. I thought this was, it started off good, and then it just, as soon as the first flash of a scary thing happened, I was like, we're in trouble.
I really liked the dad's performance.
He
I thought
was really
he
good.
Was great.
He would make a great young Ghostbuster.
Ernie Hudson.
Yes. Ernie Hudson.
Yeah, hell yeah.
He'd
be
a
that.
Great prequel.
Hollywood, you know what to do with Leslie Odom Jr.
Put him in
actually,
Ghostbuster
no, you don't, because he's in this. You don't know what the fuck you're doing.
Have you guys seen that movie? There's Something Wrong with the Children.
I've seen the trailer.
Oh, okay.
I haven't.
Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me though that Blumhouse will go with that premise though, because of course, you know, what's something that's really creepy, but I don't have to spend any money on it? Oh, if they just go fucking missing. I did it.
We don't even have to shoot them. We just shoot the woods.
We're team A24. Even our dog has an A24 leash.
Yeah, Harvey does have an A24 leash.
I would let Jason Blum do so many things to me. Like, I find Jason Blum very inspiring, and I think he's a fascinating individual. But a lot of these movies are starting to suck rancid ass. Mm. Of course, although I love Halloween Ends, so you know,
I do too.
Yeah, it's a tough. They're not all going to hit. There's that one about the closet. I can't remember what it was called now, but
I'm not sure.
It was based around whatever the game where you go into the closet with the person.
Oh yeah, like 7 seconds.
Yeah, 7 seconds. I think it was actually called something like that. So, 7 seconds in.
Not a huge Blumhouse fan because they're all the same.
Right.
I feel like they're all the same, and I mean, even the fact that two kids go missing, they come back possessed. It's the same movie. So this should have just been part two to that.
There you go. That would have been a cheaper sequel to do. So, what do you have for your next one, Tom?
My next piece is it's a modern classic.
Mm.
I especially the end hit it home for me is the requel of Baywatch.
Ooh, nice. You know, all right,
because we're making this. We're watching this movie 50 years later. In that case, it was like 20 years later on Baywatch. And the whole time you're like, when am I going to see CJ? When am I going to see CJ? And then they're like, oh, Reagan's dead. She's in hell. And you're like, no, the devil's tricky. We're going to see Reagan.
Yeah.
And then at the very last shot, we see Reagan. Just like in the very last shot, we saw Pam Anderson.
There you go.
So it was, and it really got me there. I was like, yes. And the Ellen Bornstein was much like Mitch Buchanan showing up the whole, you know. I think there's definitely a parallel.
Sometimes puzzle pieces are really good, like that one. I like that one. That was great.
I actually jumped to my seat and said it. I was like, "Yes, Baywatch." Yeah. I do love Baywatch.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that movie in a long time. That Baywatch movie. That's amazing. Yeah. Michael, you a fan of the Baywatch movie?
No.
It's so good.
No, it was. I couldn't deal with the CGI.
Yeah,
I'm usually pretty okay with it, but it was. It got really draining for me really fast. Yeah. It felt like 21 Jump Street, but shitty.
No, there's bathing suits.
There's
and yellow
suits.
There are bathing suits. Yellow Jeeps and jet skis? Come on.
You know how much fucking television I have that I can comb through for them sweet, sweet titties and little swimsuits?
You know what? I love Baywatch. I learned recently that I think I've learned everything about filmmaking from Baywatch. Because every movie I have unnecessary slow motion. I have a musical montage that goes on for a little bit too long.
Nice.
And in the end of the, there's always a romantic triangle, but in the end, it always all works out to the best.
That's a podcast right there. Everything I know about filmmaking, I learned from Baywatch.
I really did. I've been on the live TV on Roku watching a lot of Baywatch lately.
And I having seen both
you've
your film
seen it.
And your direction. yeah, Baywatch.
Yeah. I'm not lying. And
start watching Baywatch.
There's a great, you know, a lot of people don't know that Sherwood Schwartz made Gilligan's Island, but his son Doug Schwartz made Baywatch with the same formula, basically, you know, scantily clad people on a beach for no reason, solving mysteries and stuff. It was, I think it's great. Father-son activity.
Right on. That guy with his little skippy outfit and his little white hat.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
The movie stuff.
Oh, Gilligan.
Marianne.
Oh, Gilligan.
Okay.
Michael, what's your next puzzle piece over there?
Fuck, I don't know, man. this is one of those movies where I was paying attention to the story and all that bullshit, but I kept thinking, what does this remind me of? And I don't really have
Blumhouse.
Anything.
It reminds you of Blumhouse.
Yeah, it reminds me of Blumhouse. So I'm going to, this is a bit of a joking one.
Yeah.
Name a Tony Scott movie. Name anyone.
Top Gun?
Domino. We'll go with Domino.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, top,
all right.
Top Gun.
So Tony Scott did this much
you
more.
You think this movie
well,
reminds
I'm
you of
there.
A Tony
I'm getting there.
Scott?
I'm getting there.
It's
got to
be
there.
A good explanation.
Give me a second.
There.
So you know how you watch a Tony Scott movie, especially a latter-day Tony Scott movie, and it is edited to fuck all. Like, you have no idea what's happening half the time.
Yeah.
It's like sound designed up the ass.
These demons are very fast.
It's boom, 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 boom. This is not that. But it feels to me like a direct evolution of that, like, late 90s, early aughts style.
That this works in movie theater style.
Yeah. And we're just going to, the entire time, we're just going to be going and going and going and going. And every edit has to hit with some piece of the sound design. If we can get like a really loud fucking sound in there, ooh. If we can take a person screaming and combine it with like the sound of a vehicle.
A truck
or
coming.
Some truck
yeah.
or train or whatever. Oh, baby. That is some tasty business.
But I don't think they did that well enough in this.
No, they did it terribly. It was horrible. It makes me think, oh, the editor thought that was a good idea. Let's try that here. And then he's just really pleased with himself when it works out once.
Mm.
And when he's just every 5 minutes, actually not even five, every 2 minutes, just edit, 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 edit. We're like, there's scenes that could go on and be legitimately creepy, but he needs to like pop over to like a, you know, semi-truck going across the street or some bullshit. Like when she's antagonizing the nurse lady.
Yeah,
and the blood's coming out of her vagina, and you know she's doing the thing. That could have gone on, like not the like she didn't need like a pool of blood, you know, but
the blood was too digital and way too fast.
It was very fast. But you know, let that scene breathe a little bit.
Mm,
you know,
yeah.
There's no breathing in this movie.
Yeah,
which is weird because it takes 5 fucking hours to get through.
I was thankful it was an hour and a half, but it could have been 2 hours to really kind of tell a story. Like, you know, instead of everything just kind of wrapping up,
it just goes. And you don't get any, like, other than Leslie Odom Jr., there's no real character development.
No.
Like, there's kind of some with the dad from the white dad.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like the Christian couple, they were like, ooh, let's make these guys look like hillbillies and a little, you know what, let's forget about that. Just let them be parents now.
Yeah.
You know, at first they were kind of like a little bit trashy, and he's a little mean, and she was a little bit podunky, and then by the end, it was just like, no, they're just parents.
I mean, as someone who grew up in the South, that is all of them. Yeah. That's everybody. That's actually one thing I hate about the Debbie Gordon Green horror films, even the Halloween stuff, is how much of it I either recognize or is like part
from
of my
Georgia,
childhood.
Or, yeah. Well, you're from,
because like
Carolina.
The first Halloween takes place in it was shot in Charleston, where I grew up, and I lived like a block from where Myers does his like that like one shot, a little killing spree, where he kills a chick in the window. And it was
scene.
Fucking and like my friend Michael Smallwood is in the first two movies. He's the guy dressed as a doctor, which great for him. I mean, you know, amazing for him. But the whole time I'm like, this is fucking weird, guys. I'm uncomfortable.
Why is Haddonfield in my house?
Yeah. It's like, this is not Illinois.
Yeah, it's my street.
And why is Chris McNeil living on a Georgia beach?
Everything with her is amazing.
Like, where is that place? Oh, man, I forgot it.
That's a Georgia beach. Yeah. That is not anywhere else. That is South Carolina or Georgia, one of those.
I thought it was South Carolina.
Might have been. Yeah, every scene probably with
South
Ellen
Burstyn
rules.
Yeah, it was probably South Carolina, because they all fucking live there. Danny McBride, David Gordon Green, all their little group, they all live on fucking Isle of Palms, because they're rich.
Yeah.
And they just love, they're like, oh, we
they
want to travel
hard.
For work.
They make the best TV shows of the last 10
Danny
years.
Danny McBride is the best
ever. All these guys, they make the best TV shows of the last 10 years, and then they make this stuff.
They make some pretty crummy horror movies.
Yeah, I don't
the
know.
Same
I,
guy behind, the same guys, yeah. behind fucking Vice Principals, behind fucking
Righteous
Gemstones.
Yeah.
Wait, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's the same people, the same creative
Why?
Team. I don't know. It's so strange. It's insane. And
you can tell.
You haven't seen the Halloween movies, but they're just like this. But I just want to say, by the way, this podcast, we're not usually shitting on these movies so much, but it just so happens
it was a tough movie.
I
can usually like everything. Like, I'm pretty, I like movies, you know, and I can usually find something that I'm like, oh, that was awesome.
Yeah.
And in this one, I don't know, because the whole time I was waiting for, what am I going to say that I love in this?
Right.
And then really the only part that I loved was seeing Linda Blair at the end, because I thought she would never do anything Exorcist related again. When you meet her in person, she hands a piece of paper that everything that not the Exorcist she's been involved with. So I don't know how they roped her in. I mean, obviously
money.
A lot of money.
A lot.
But it's just one of those things, because now she just jump-started the conversation again for the next 20 years.
Sure.
Which she doesn't want to have. So she really cares about those dogs.
Yeah.
Really does.
Yeah. Gina, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I thought the pacing was good, though. Like, the movie didn't drag on.
Yeah, it was nice.
But
and
it could have dragged
quick.
A little more.
I
think it could have dragged a little more.
I would disagree, because to me, the pacing, it does two things at the same time that you should not be able to do at the same time. It takes, again, 10 fucking years to get through the entire movie. But also, all the scenes are really short and just cut off at random points. But also, it takes... It's almost a staggering work of anti-art in that regard. And I want to note, I actually thought there was a lot of positives here.
Like I said, I liked the beginning. I really liked the beginning.
I was very whelmed. When Chris McNeil gets in there, that whole second act... just garbage. It doesn't make any sense. There's no reason to have it there. It's literally like you excise that from the plot. It makes no difference. And you can tell that they wrote the script like, okay, we probably can't get her, but we have a lot of money that we can just beep, beep, beep up to her house. Let's give it a try. And so they wrote her in. They wrote in that little coda. Like, maybe if we can get Linda, if we can get Ellen Burstyn, we can get fucking Linda Blair.
Why do you think they couldn't have got Ellen Burstyn?
Because she didn't want to fucking, that's why in Heretic, they originally wrote her character in because Reagan needed a guardian to be at the psychiatric place with Nurse Ratched, Louise Fletcher. But she said, fuck no. And so they rewrote it to be Sharon, the like nanny or whatever from the first film, which I thought was fucking hilarious at the time, because Sharon specifically states that she's not going to be hanging out with this family anymore at the end of Exorcist. And then
poor Sharon.
She's the guardian for Reagan now.
Richard Burton in that as well?
Yes, Richard Burton, drunk off his fucking ass.
I just don't know what Ellen would be doing to say no to this movie.
Living her life. She's
on the
shit.
Beach in South Carolina.
That's her house. They filmed in her house, probably.
I was disappointed that they butchered Tubular Bells.
That was weird. Like, you had the song. Just play it.
They had the song in the trailer.
It's a weird thing because they owned that
song. Yeah, they had the original. I think it sounded like the original Tubular Bells.
It needed that to come in hardcore, like, for real when things work.
In the movie, it's not. It's like a remix.
Like a MIDI version.
Yeah. It was unnecessary. Yeah, they should just do the thing.
That drove me nuts. Like, the first, like, half of the movie, I was like, where the fuck is Tubular Bells?
That's why I thought it was, like, an Asylum movie.
That song is why I love The Exorcist.
Yeah, it's the best song.
It's a great fucking song.
I was promoting, can I talk?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
I was telling my friends back home, my family back home, listen, they play the same music, in, you know, the soundtrack, which is the lore to get you here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
and it worked.
And Ellen Burstyn's here. Like, if it wasn't called The Exorcist, The Believer, I don't think we would be here.
And that's why they spent $400 million.
Yeah. And I think they may get it back because us tomorrow and the next will come just to see that it's terrible.
I don't know that as many people will come out because, well, first of all, theaters don't do what they used to do, obviously. Spend that kind of money on an Exorcist movie. I mean, I guess it's October, so it's a fun time to go, but I don't know. I feel like... Like, the teens that are going to go to the theater, they don't care about this movie.
Oh, yeah. Also, when's the last time an Exorcist movie made money? Mm. The Exorcist?
Maybe. Back in 2000.
Yeah, the re-release of The Exorcist.
Yeah, re-release of The Exorcist was great.
It's interesting about 20 years ago, because the early one, back in the 70s, it was the most terrifying thing to see. And then when I went to see it at Lincoln Center 20 years ago, kids, teenagers.
Oh, yeah.
Hysterical laughing. When she did the crab walk backwards.
Yeah.
To be fair, there's a good reason they cut that from the
correct.
Oh, I thought that was awesome.
It's a good bit, but it's too early.
And I thought, damn, you have no idea.
It's a tough thing to do nowadays. Yeah, like, I just think people don't they don't see what's scary about it necessarily.
Well, the other thing about what makes The Exorcist work, and the reason that this doesn't quite work, and a lot of the other Exorcist movies don't fucking work,
is William Friedkin was crazy.
Well, yeah, William Friedkin was fucking crazy.
Yeah,
but also, it's. Like, because I just rewatched it again for the first time in several years, and what blew me away was the best part of the movie is everything leading up to the exorcism.
Yeah.
It is this beautiful story about Father Karras and his struggle. Like, he's the exorcist.
Wait, so this priest fucking... didn't have a struggle, you're saying? Is that what it is?
Oh, my God.
In his car, he did for like
they
10
also,
minutes.
They play their hand so much in this movie because the second he comes back in, I'm like, he doesn't deserve this. He ain't going to make it out.
I'm so glad they killed him off.
Yeah, that was the best part of the movie.
And I love the way they did it.
Yeah.
I was trying to make one of my pieces. When they went in, they're like, we're here together. We're going to go do this. It was a lot like It. Like, there were seven of them.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
I was
that's
lucky seven. I was like, they're going in. They're going to do it. And then he came in. I was like, you're eight. You just fucked it all up.
Well, I did have one last piece.
I do too.
Okay, Problem Child 2. Because first time the kid was a terror, and this time there's two crazy kids.
That's good.
That's Problem Child 2.
Hey,
what do you have,
Gina?
That's
one of my favorite movies.
It is.
And
we
you,
just watched
you had
it.
Never watched it.
No, I had seen the original.
I love when they put that dynamite in the toilet.
Yeah, so good.
I love the little girl in that movie. I wish I was bad like that when I was a kid.
You probably were.
It sucks that I wasn't. So my last puzzle piece is the 2012 film starring Naomi Watts and Ewan McGregor. It's a movie about a tsunami in Thailand, and it's called The Impossible.
Oh, yeah.
And that opening scene that with where they're in the earthquake
in Haiti
reminded me of that, like all the chaos.
No, you're totally right. And like I said, that was like my favorite.
I loved that. Was a beautiful scene.
That's what drove me nuts. Is like she is super fucking pregnant.
Yeah, I was like,
what are they doing in Haiti
right now?
Yeah, I don't
now?
Understand what they were.
Like, who goes vacation?
Was he like a photojournalist or something?
And they were. He was on. I think he was just
like National Geographic.
That's again. That's the character problem here. Because again, Father Karras has this amazing arc. Even Father Marin, who's barely in the fucking movie, has a pretty strong arc. And in this one, it's like, what does Leslie Odom Jr. do exactly? Like, we know that he winds up just taking shitty family photos.
Mm, yeah.
Cool, that's
yeah, they
at.
Really
yeah,
needed to show, like magazine covers or
he
something.
He went from, like, a photojournalist, like, traveling photographer.
I thought he was a hobbyist. I thought they were on their honeymoon.
Oh, yeah, really?
It seemed like he was a hobbyist.
And,
but, like,
and
I don't know.
I was just like, why are you guys in Haiti right now?
No, because they showed him as, like,
pregnant.
A family photographer, so it seemed like if they were showing that he kind of, like, maybe he might have given up on his dreams.
Yeah, that's what I took from it. But again, like, it's they don't give us any like idea of where that starts. It's just, and now he has a shitty job, I guess. Maybe. Does he actually dislike it? I don't know. We're not going to, let's cut. Let's
go I think his character though had the most character development.
Oh, sure. Definitely. Yeah. 100%. Definitely. Yeah,
I think there's a lot you could chew on if you wanted to.
With that.
But I don't
only,
think you'd want to with this movie.
Probably not. So I want to open up the floor for some puzzle pieces, and we do have t-shirts to give as prizes. Usually I'll take anything, but I just want to put a little stipulation. If you're going to bring up an exorcism movie, you know, let's, you know, get a good sentence or two as to why, you know, because obviously every exorcism movie, there's a line you can draw from The Exorcist to those to this. So does anybody have any puzzle pieces they want to bring up over here? We got one right over there. Nikki, what do you got?
Carrie.
Okay.
When Catherine is walking in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Creepily.
Yes.
All wet.
Oh, we're getting you on the mic.
Thank you. Reminiscent of prom scene.
Yes.
In Carrie.
Absolutely.
Sissy Spacek. Yeah.
The original.
Yeah. I never see sequels, so I don't. It's all.
Michael, you might as well stay over there because I'm
really
sure my mom's
going
to have something. But Carrie was great.
A horror sequel. I'll go with. I was telling Nikki, I love The Omen. I could watch all of The Omens every single day. Absolutely love it. What really pissed me off about the whole movie.
Oh boy, here we go.
Okay. Was
I thought it was really scary.
Okay. Oh, not at all scary. Ellen Burstyn was wearing the clothes of Elliot Stabler's mother, and that threw me off. And it fucking threw me off. That's it. Done. Same outfit that she wears in Law and Order.
So I guess Law and Order is the puzzle piece overall from my
all
mom.
Right.
So thank
Law
you.
Law and Order and Carrie.
There you go. Those are.
Oh, and one other.
Yeah. Come back over.
One other thing. James, what's her name? Was in. Is the star of Halloween?
Yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Right?
Jamie Lee
yeah.
Curtis.
Okay, not bragging, but I'll put it out there. I'm friends with Kelly Curtis.
Oh.
Her sister.
She is so nice.
Wow. Okay. I'm gonna
definitely from Brooklyn.
I'm gonna walk away from this show.
Does anybody else have any puzzle pieces they want to bring up? We got one right over here.
Oh, shitting cock. Wait a second. I'm gonna be.
There you go.
You need to upgrade to a wireless.
As far as puzzle pieces go, I was waiting for this moment to come in the movie, and lo and behold, it did. Beyond the Door. Because after The Exorcist did it, it was almost like set in stone. You have to have a head-turning scene in every possession movie there is, and that's what they did.
I was trying to figure out how to make that one of my puzzle pieces, and that's, I didn't even think about the head-turning thing.
I really loved the head turning scene here. Like that. Like I'm trying to like think of nice things to say about the movie.
I didn't like the head turning scene
really,
because
I liked it just because he's such an idiot. The guy. That's why I liked it. You know.
But it killed him where Linda's head spun around and
she was possessed.
Going.
You know. He was just some schmuck. You know. That,
he did
like,
deserve it.
Yeah, he deserved it.
But
that's why I liked it because he deserved.
I don't know
it.
Why those veins popped out for like. No reason right away before the head turn. It was like, look, evil's inside. I don't know.
That's always
awesome. I wasn't really, I didn't like the horror elements of this movie.
It's forcing a hand to turn a gun on itself and breaking the wrist and blowing out someone's brains. Right, Tom?
Yeah. What is?
What is?
Any other pieces we got from the audience? We got one way up there, though.
Okay,
my cord's not
going
to, so just yell to us.
I got a weird one. When they were, like, you know, finally exercising the girls, and they're all in the circle there, and they're doing that circle shot, I felt like I was watching a superhero team-up movie. The way that they were doing their different, like, chants and stuff, and they're all coming together. I thought I was, like, watching The Avengers or something.
Captain Planet.
No, it was more like that 70s show. When they're
70s show, hell yeah.
The table in the basement.
Ouija board.
Hell yeah.
So we got Avengers and that 70s.
I love it.
Good.
I love it. To that point, though, did I hear it right? I didn't want to take my phone out and write it down. Did somebody say, oh, I get it, we're a bunch of different people or something like that when they were getting together?
Basically.
That was the weirdest line. It's like, It was like almost diversity, like someone off camera said. Yeah, it was like a diverse group of townsfolk that got together. It's like, oh, I get it.
It's another one of those things.
That's another one of those things that's a really good idea because you have a less Christian society.
Uh huh.
So what do? Oh, we make it more about just people coming together and the fact that their faith is what's powerful, not necessarily the individual
the
religion.
Strength in numbers.
Yeah, which is a good idea. I mean, I don't think it works inherently just because part of the Exorcist's appeal is that it's kind of like Catholic fantasy.
Yeah.
Which is fun because Catholicism is like a bullshit fantasy book.
Pope's Exorcist on my shirt right here. He's basically an Exorcist superhero. So,
yeah,
you know.
He's a fat guy on a Vespa.
He's awesome. He's the best.
But yeah.
To that thing though, like I was thinking of Don't Be a Menace in South Central. I'll drink your message, you know, for that part. So, yeah.
I only got one problem with this movie.
Okay.
It's only one.
Well, wow. Horror movies are supposed to be scary, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Nothing in this movie scared me.
It's really hard to be scary anymore.
Thing to being scary was when the snake came out from under the rock.
Yeah.
But it was digital. It was a cartoon snake. It can't bite you.
That didn't even do it for me.
I couldn't tell if it was a digital snake. It was too dark. And it just
didn't happen. Yeah, I jump a lot at horror movies, and I didn't really jump at anything in this.
That must have been a Satan snake.
What's going to scare me? What's going to scare me?
And before you knew it, it was almost over.
I think it's really hard to make a scary movie. And I know you were just saying how scary the original Exorcist was. And everybody's always said, it's the scariest movie on the planet. I own the Monster Museum. People walk through, they see the Exorcist, and they're like, oh my God, I'm terrified. I can't even walk past it. I need to blah, blah, blah. I've never thought the Exorcist was scary because I'm a later generation that's not Catholic, but I've always thought it was super cool.
Right,
like,
me too. Yeah.
I don't think it's hard to make a movie actually scary now. Everything's so...
Make one about Trump. Speaking of that, though.
What it is it's cool. You know, when things can... When you hit that, it's cool. Like Evil Dead's not scary.
Right.
Evil Dead's fucking cool, though.
It's the best.
And this wasn't super cool. It had elements that I was like, oh, man, you know, this could be really cool. And when it started in Haiti, I was like, oh, this is going to be like Serpent in the Rainbow. And then it wasn't at all like Serpent in the Rainbow. Yeah. And I was like, dang. Because the Haitian voodoo possession stuff is fucking cool.
Yes. It is awesome.
I thought they were going to use...
Something like that.
What the black actress? I don't know what her. I don't remember anyone's names.
Yeah.
But the black woman.
Yeah.
Not the really an exorcist, but the.
No, but she could have come and.
Hey, she's a doctor.
Or the doctor. Yeah.
She was the
only
one that hadn't.
I thought she was gonna do something a little bit more.
Yeah, something cool.
And she
cool.
did like some shitty possessed. CGI smoke thing, and
like,
that was it.
She could have totally like gutted a pig and spit on her foot, and like, you'd be like, oh my God, it's working.
Yeah.
I think
they didn't want to go there.
It's neither scary nor fun.
It wasn't cool. Yeah, it didn't have cool factor.
You can with a horror movie, you need to either be scary or you need to be fun. Or maybe just have vibes.
Yeah.
You can have vibes, be scary, be fun. None of that exists in this
movie. It was just really lazy.
It was.
It was lazy writing.
Safe. Yeah.
It was safe. It was lazy. Yeah. A little of both of those two things, I think.
Gina, did you like or dislike the fact that they threw in some of the old lines from The Exorcist? And they were in the bed. To me, that's
it was
you're
cheesy.
Trying to get back to it, but you're trying to be on your own.
I liked when she carved Reagan.
That
was kind of
cheesy. I liked it. Was. That's apparently that they demon Pazuzu's was like catchphrase, right?
Help me.
Mother, help me.
They could have done a more creative throwback.
I didn't feel like the occult, like the original Exorcist was, or the original Omen. It was truly like 666, the occult, the whole religious Catholicism aspect of things.
But it's now hard you gotta to be safe because you don't want to offend anybody.
I did like the opening scene though with the dogs, just like in the original.
That was the one callback that maybe
really
kind of
cool.
worked a little bit.
That was a cool throwback.
I think they were with Lancaster, remember when they were in Iraq, no?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they do it in Heretic too.
There was a little spot where you, I thought it was going to be a Captain Howdy flash. But it was just the little girl walking past the mirror, and then he follows her up the stairs. But for the five, like, split second, I thought, oh, that was, no, that
there was a flash of something.
There was.
Yeah, but it wasn't. Yeah.
It wasn't a Captain Howdy,
though. It wasn't
though.
Captain Howdy.
And I thought that would have been cool because, like, Pazuzu's supposed to be in all of it, right?
Shit,
all right,
we're going to let my mom say one more thing, and then we're going to wrap this thing up.
As a professional photographer, what is your opinion of Odom Jr. looking very closely at a family picture and focusing in on the little boy as if perhaps he's evil and he's going to be in the movie sometime or other, which he wasn't.
I think that was just because children are awful.
That was, yeah, that
mom,
was like.
I agree with you. I was thinking the same thing.
I always hate when they bring something.
And they never come.
They didn't follow up on that callback.
He was looking at that picture like.
Twice it came to him, yep.
Yeah.
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 Okay, so good point, Mom. Good point.
You're sharp. Sharp.
I've just got one other question.
Okay, we got one more thing here.
Would you agree that one of the biggest basic problems with the movie overall is that if you're a dyed-in-the-wool horror fan, and I am, I've been watching horror movies for the better part of 60 years now, wouldn't you say that audiences are much more intelligent, much more savvy about horror, much more...
jaded. I think
sensitive
it's
sensitive to the tropes and whatnot, so it's going to make it a hell of a lot harder for production companies like Blumhouse to come up with really good things that'll scare the shit out of you.
I think you're absolutely right that audiences are more jaded, but I also think, going back to the lazy comment, that it's lazy to lean on the things that worked before and just be like, let's just, you know, do callbacks, basically. Let's do Easter eggs. So
I think now the only choice they have is to do like a mulligan stew. You know, take something from column A, something from column B, mix the shit together, and see if you can come up with something maybe not original, but that feels more original. Like a very good example is Malignant.
Oh, yeah.
I was ready for that.
That's actually a really good point.
I am.
You didn't know until the reveal. It's like, what the fuck are they doing?
The thing is.
And the best part about it is, it was completely wonderful William Castle schlock.
Yeah.
If William Castle was alive right now and see that, he'd be kicking his own ass going, damn it, I wish I'd thought of that idea.
Amazing.
The thing is, I feel the original Exorcist knocked it out of the park. They had the book from Blatty and then William Friedkin. It was just one of those, you know, magic moments that everything fell into the right place and that movie hit at the right time and it did amazing. But to try to recreate that with an Exorcist movie, I think, is probably impossible. But it doesn't mean it can't be recreated with another type of... I do think that everybody's like, there's no original ideas anymore. You can't be original anymore. I don't buy that. I think that the right person, given the right circumstance, can make another movie, like when Quentin Tarantino dropped Pulp Fiction and it was like, what? You know, that was very familiar to a lot of people, but it was also new and fresh.
Yeah.
And there is something that Tobe Hooper did with Texas Chainsaw Massacre that was so simple, but it was so perfect at the right time.
Yeah.
And I think that those times still exist, but the studios that are in charge of this play it safe. And they're like, what worked before and what works every year and what does this and make it look like everything else we do. And let's take from that storyline that movie didn't blow socks off people and it should have, so we'll put it here.
Yeah, I think safety is the biggest problem, and studios love safe. But
and we just need the independent filmmakers to rise up a little bit.
Yeah,
more.
Absolutely. I just want to close it up. One last thing: what Michael said earlier about rewatching the original Exorcist is that movie works as a movie, other than just a horror movie.
Right.
Just the scares. Like it's good character development, good story, everything going on with everybody in the first hour when there's not really many scares or anything like that. You know, this is just looking at the scary parts and like, let's make a movie around that.
It's more unnerving than like the when the priest walks in and sees the titty and cock thing that they did on the statue in the church.
Yeah.
It's not really like, it's unnerving. It's not really scary, and it doesn't like bomb, bomb, bomb. It just, oh, that's fucking crazy, and then, you know, moves on, and it just gives you that sense of foreboding.
Yeah.
Whereas this, it's like car horn. Flick.
Startling.
Yeah. That's true. That's what it is.
Let's
it's
wrap
not
it up.
Genuine.
Let's wrap it up on Michael startling all of my listeners at home. Gino, do you want to plug anything? What do you got going on?
Just please make sure to check out the Nevada Women's Film Festival next June. It'll be the 10th year.
Right on. Submissions just opened, right?
Yes.
Right on. Right on. Tom, what do you want to plug?
So my first feature film, Teddy Told Me To, comes out next week on Tuesday, October 10th. And you can rent it on DirecTV, Amazon, and Google Play. It will play on a million other, every cable platform that you can imagine, Cox, Charter, whatever ones I don't know. And then in about 90 days, it'll hit the tubies and those things. So
awesome. Awesome. Michael, what do you got going on?
So I know that, so submissions are open. If I shit out my lesbian vampire movie in time, what does that fit? Because it's about women.
Well, yeah, you don't have to be a woman. You don't have to be a female filmmaker. The film just has to be about women.
Okay.
Female right. story.
Okay. Female story.
Because I've got the best. My movie The Head is on Blu-ray courtesy of Terravision. So go buy that. It has commentary tracks and behind the scenes, and it's a movie about a mannequin head that sucks cock and blood, and it's a beautiful story.
It was a movie.
It's a love story.
Oh, Mannequin's great. Mannequin 2 on the Move is also great.
Everybody, thank you so much for being here. That is our show for tonight.
Hi, this is Wax Trax Records here on 2909 South Decatur. We buy all your old 45s, your old albums, any type of music memorabilia. Also, we sell music memorabilia, albums, CDs, and a lot. Come on down to Wax Trax, 2909 South Decatur, or give me a call at 702-362-4300. Thank you very much.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation about The Exorcist Believer. Again, thank you to Art House for having us down. And thank you to my guests, Tom Devlin, Michael Keane, and Gina Mazzoni for joining me. And to everyone who is out, I hope to see people out at these future events. I'll be announcing more soon. It's always so much fun to do them in person this way at the movie theater. And yeah, I hope that you'll make it out to some of the future ones if you're listening right now. And if you are listening right now, of course, make sure you are subscribed to Piecing It Together wherever you listen to podcasts, so you'll get all the new episodes as they come. We got a lot of episodes on the way and a lot more podcasts coming out soon. I got some special episodes I'm recording over the next week. A lot of fun stuff. So make sure you're subscribed. You could also follow us on social media at Piecing Pod and join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces. The day after we did this live show, I also just happened to release a new horror film score album called Blind Malice, and I am going to play a track from that to close out this episode right now. I always play a piece of my music to close out these episodes, and since that album just came out and is horror, it fits perfectly in here, so let's do that. I'm going to play the main theme from Blind Malice. Hope you enjoy this, and we will be back with more Piecing It Together real soon.
an All Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.
I am too.
All right, I think she got the picture.
You, it already flashed. That had to have been the picture.
Mom!